upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Good morning. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is July 25, 2019. And the first story today we have is about the new urban agenda. It's something that we need to be reminded of on a continuous basis because the new urban agenda, sponsored by the United Nations, is gaining ground all over the world. The United Nations is pushing its entire 193 nations of the world into a mold of the Sustainable Development Goals. They have big plans for cities and urban environments all over the world. My comments on this article were the UN drive to transform cities into hubs of sustainable development, aka technocracy, of course, is global in nature, and the world's 193 nations are fully supportive. And thus far, the US is offering little if no resistance. The article states at the United Nations Conference on Housing and Sustainable Urban Development, that is, Habitat 3, in October 2016, the new urban agenda was unanimously adopted. It serves as a vision for our cities and municipalities for the next 20 years. According to the UNDP, it demonstrated its full support to the implementation of the new urban agenda with the official launch of its Sustainable Urbanization Strategy. It further stated that it welcomed Strategic Plan 2018 to 2021, with the endorsement of member states providing strategic guidance to UNDP's policy and programmers for the next 4 years. The new plan set out the direction for a new UNDP to support countries to end extreme poverty, reduce inequality, and achieve goals of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. The UN New Urban Agenda was a document that has been approved by 193 countries and was branded a positive trend that creates values including socioeconomic, agglomeration economics, innovations, social advancement, among others. The agenda was endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly at its 68th plenary meeting of the 71st session, the 23rd of December 2016. We see nations around the world continuing to pant after the new urban agenda. They can't get enough of it. They're eating out of the hand of the United Nations, taking anything they say as gospel truth. The United States has not been immune from this either. We have policies across America that have been derived from Agenda 21 and 2030 Agenda, and now the new urban agenda. All the business about resiliency, which is in the news quite frequently now. Resiliency is a concept of the new urban agenda. We see it everywhere in America. Big cities, small cities, even in rural communities. Well, in story number two, we find out that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has scored a victory. She may not view it as a victory, but I see it as a victory for her because her Green New Deal was so outrageous that the entire Democrat Party has tipped to invent a watered-down version of the Green New Deal, and they now are running after it. Well, this is how the Hegelian dialectic works. You take a thesis, you apply an antithesis, out of which is born a synthesis. So in this sense, AOC has accomplished a synthesis. She got them to move in her direction, not the other way around. She didn't move in their direction one iota, but she got the entire Democrat leadership in Congress to tip towards her and adopt a watered-down version of the Green New Deal. Maybe this is the plan in the first place, or maybe it's just the natural outcome of the political process. But AOC is still clamoring for more. She'll never be satisfied until she gets everything that she wants. So she'll continue to parrot the extreme position. They'll say, well, let's not be hasty now. We can accommodate some of this, but not all of it. And the synthesis will go on. It's a process now. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. I think we'll see this working out in many different ways in the future with the Democrat Party and radical environmentalism. The last story is pretty serious. A new survey on vaccine acceptance has found that 45% of Americans doubt the safety of vaccines. 45%. This article is an apologist article for vaccines, but nevertheless, it reports on this survey that came out trying to justify it, trying to put a spin on it that isn't so dangerous for them, and yet it continues to parrot the same old line that everybody needs to be vaccinated. The article states, the latest measles outbreak that's gripped communities across the country in recent months pushed the topic of vaccinations and those who choose to forego them right back into center stage for many Americans. Now a new survey delving into feelings over immunizations finds the country may be more split on the issue than believed, with 45% of adults admitting to harboring some doubt about the safety of vaccines. That said, the vast majority, more than 8 in 10 surveyed, still view vaccines as effective and continue to support them, despite their concerns. You see, there's the spin, by the way. The survey, funded by the American Osteopathic Association, questioned 2,000 adults and asked doubters the source of their suspicions of the science-supported, long-established safety and importance of vaccinations. Of the nearly half who listed at least one source of doubt over vaccine safety, researchers found the most common sources came from online articles, distrust of the pharmaceutical industry, and information from medical experts. According to lead researcher Rachel Schmutz, a perinatal psychiatrist, widespread negative attitudes towards vaccine has become a phenomenon caused by human psychology and amplified by social media. So now they can blame social media and human psychology. Dr. Schmutz said, quote, from an evolutionary perspective, humans are primed to pay attention to threats or negative information. So it makes sense that people hold on to fears that vaccines are harmful, especially when they believe their children are in danger. I think Dr. Schmutz should probably listen to some of the first-person testimony of mothers who have young children who were vaccinated and then became horribly sick, in many cases, permanently disabled. What about those, Dr. Schmutz? The article goes on, another factor in this phenomena is that since vaccines have effectively banished many once common and deadly diseases, people fear possible side effects from the vaccines more than the diseases themselves. Schmutz says, for some, it really might be that vaccines are viewed as the more salient threat. Despite these concerns, 82% of respondents were still generally in favor of vaccines, while 8% showed serious doubts and 9% said they were unsure. More spin, more spin. Many people are uninformed about vaccines. The state of Michigan, for example, ended public education for vaccines in the mid-2000s. This, combined with legislation that allows for vaccine exemptions for religious and philosophical beliefs, led to Michigan being ranked 44th in the country in the number of vaccinated children between the ages of 19 and 35 months in 2015. In 2017, the state launched a new education program about vaccines, and immunization rates increased across all demographics. Doctors warn that people with doubt only breed more people with doubt, and that can be dangerous when certain diseases require up to 95% of the population to be vaccinated in order to eliminate the threat of those diseases. And here we have, ultimately, coming up in the discussion, the concept of herd immunity, that in order for some disease to be eradicated, it requires that 95% of the population must be vaccinated. This theory has been kicking around for a long time, It has absolutely no scientific support whatsoever. The article goes on now, beliefs are hard to change, especially when they're based in fear, adds osteopathic family physician Paul Ehrman. But being responsible for our patients' health and the public's health, we can't afford to give in to those fears. We must insist on evidence-based medicine. Well, we've discussed the concept of evidence-based medicine before in these pages. There's nothing good to say about it other than it's an expression of technocracy to take what they consider as evidence, treat it like stretch socks, turn it around and say, well, one size fits all. Everybody must go along with what we have determined is true. This is the process of, quote, settling the science. And they believe that the science is settled and that everybody should get vaccinated. Aside from any issue with the safety of individual vaccines, and some, by the way, are more dangerous than others, unquestionably. Some might even be safe, but many are not. The big issue is, does anybody have the right to force you to stick a needle into your arm and inject you with a foreign substance? Is your body your body, or does your body belong to the state? This is the ultimate question that these people are bringing up. They are saying, no, for the public good, everybody needs to be vaccinated. So line up, roll up your sleeve. We're going to stick a needle in your arm, whether you like it or not. This is the ultimate issue with vaccinations, not even a question of safety. It should be a personal choice for everybody. If somebody likes vaccinations and wants to take them, they should be able to do that. If somebody doesn't want to take a vaccination, they should be able to refuse it. What could be more simple? Well, we hope somewhere along the way that enough public backlash occurs with the vaccination propaganda that people will begin to listen and say, no, we don't want society to go this way. We will not accept forced vaccinations. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.